Sunday Meditation, March 5th, 2006.
It would really be good for me to hear it.
The question today, Quo, concerns the transition that we call death from the third density to the next density, or to the afterlife. And we are wondering if you could tell us something about how this does affect the people around the one who is going through the death transition. The people that are left behind, the friends and the family, are the most affected here in our world. Could you tell us how this does affect people, how people can be inspired to support each other and the person who's going through the death transition? And then for the person going through the death transition, tell us something about how that works, how this person would look back, or if this person does look back at the world that is being left behind, looks forward to the world to come. And could you relate this also in terms of space-time and in time-space, in terms of what the person going through the death transition experiences?
We are those known to you as the principle of Quo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We come to you in his service, answering the call from your circle of seeking for information and thoughts concerning the process of death, looked at from several different viewpoints. We are most happy to be called, and thank you for the honor and privilege of being allowed to share our thoughts with you. As always, we would ask for you to take responsibility for discriminating between those thoughts of ours that help you and seem resonant to you and those thoughts that do nothing for you. If a thought of ours does not seem resonant to you, we ask you to let it go. We are not an authority over you. Rather, we are your fellow seekers. If you will take responsibility for filtering the thoughts that really help you and the ones that do not, then we shall feel much more free to share our thoughts without being concerned about the issue of your free will or our infringing upon your sacred process of evolution. We thank you for this consideration with all our hearts. We make this instrument smile quite often, and we can feel her smiling as we express the thought that we are surprised to a certain extent that you have asked about death. We have found among your people that that subject is not one which is often something that pulls at people's interest. Whatever curiosity they may have about death seems... Whatever curiosity they may have about death seems to be buried in the overlay of cultural taboo. It is not a subject with which your people feel comfortable in general. Consequently, we are very pleased to be able to share our thoughts on this subject. And we thank you for the opportunity. This instrument was recently part of the close friends and family of two close friends who had lost their mother. These entities, a brother and sister, have been involved with L&L research and with this instrument since the early 60s. Therefore, the friendship and companionship between the ones known as Morris and Bath and this instrument and the one known as Jim, it's very close and very deep. Consequently, this instrument and the one known as Jim spent perhaps 6 hours over the period of 2 days walking the steps of your culture's way of finding solace, comfort, and closure to the life, the goodness, the virtue, and the beauty of that entity, their mother, who had passed through the gates into larger life. We pause to welcome back the one known as Tim.
Hello?
That's not Tim.
We are those of Kuo and are again with this instrument. There was, in the experience of this process of ritual and communion, every bit of comfort that those who loved this soul could pack into the ritualized remembrance of the viewing and the funeral. There was almost no awareness within the group that gathered of the closeness and the intimacy of the presence of that entity whose body lay in its casket on display for the mourning family and friends. There was no awareness that this entity was alive. And a part of the proceedings, it might not even have been comfortable as an awareness had the truth been known. The pastor who offered his sentiments at the burial imagined that the one known as Ethel, the mother of the ones known as Morris and Beth, was out of pain and with her Lord Jesus the Christ. These things were comforting. And yet, in terms of the actual situation, were not accurate. Certainly, the one known as Ethel had experienced being greeted by that beloved Savior whom she expected to see. Yet, in time-space, things happen in a non-local manner. And the one known as Ethel was a part of the funeral, curious as always, wanting to see what everyone was wearing, how everyone was speaking, what they were saying, and in general, enjoying the gathering and experiencing a great deal of love, affection, and gratitude that so many good people had taken the time and the effort to come together. We find that your culture does not have the kind of relationship with death that allows the comfort factor to increase beyond a certain point. Entities feel that to some extent they need to be solemn and serious, even if the entity has been very ill and full of years and ready in many different ways and on several different levels to move on. There is a knee-jerk reaction of feeling that it is a sad and a negative occurrence, that somehow it would have been better had the person been able to live on. Again, from the standpoint of time-space, this is an awkward and even a primitive attitude, shall we say, not taking into consideration the marvelous experience that it is, especially when one has been limited, as was the one known as Ethel, unable to speak because of strokes and so forth. It is still considered a sad thing because this woman was able to move on into the next experience. That is what your experience of death looks like to us as we observe through the mind of this instrument the obloquies offered for the one known as Ethel so recently. We salute the tremendous love that went into these rituals for the one known as Ethel. And yet, we simply comment that were the culture to be more comfortable with the concept of the physical death and to be able to separate this event from any thought of an ending of any kind for that soul, the obloquies would become festivities, and sorrow would contain a great deal more of joy among your peoples. The entry into incarnation is often somewhat traumatic, not only for the mother who is birthing a child, but for the child. There is a frightening and hurried journey from warm, rich darkness to cold, sanitary glare. There is the necessity to begin breathing, which is traumatic in itself. And there is the indignity of being worked with and patted and poked and even slapped as the doctors and nurses make sure that the new child is breathing properly, cleaned up, and so forth. When that process has reached its conclusion, when an incarnation's patterns have been completed, and the Creator has called that entity out of incarnation, the process is again sometimes traumatic on the earthly side of the gateway to larger life, as this instrument is used to calling death. There may be a protracted illness. There is often a perceived difficulty as an entity is dying. We salute the wisdom and compassion of what this instrument calls the hospice movement. As these entities are trained to see death as part of a process, not an ending, but also a beginning as well. This attitude has helped many families to cope far more sensibly and practically with the mystery of death. Caught up in the sadness of losing a beloved friend or relative, it is easy to lose sight of the fact that death is not an ending of any kind, but rather is that end point for those who remain dwelling on the terrestrial orb of Earth. For the entity who has died, there is a very smooth transition, unless there is some difficulty with the death and the sense that it may be sudden or unexpected. For an entity who is ill and is aware that life is slipping away, the senses are growing dim and the life force is ebbing, death is effortless and welcome. It is experienced by the entity who is dying in various ways depending upon how clear the energies of that entity are. When this instrument died at the age of 13 for a brief time, there was no effort whatsoever, as this instrument had been at the point of death for 2 weeks before the actual death occurred, and was fully aware that it was a great blessing to be out of pain and to be moving ahead onto a new adventure. This instrument was informed before she got too far into the experience that she really could not stay. She really needed either to enter incarnation again using the body that she had left, or she needed to start the incarnational process again and come back into incarnation as a baby in the normal way. Before she had work to accomplish and lessons to learn. This instrument decided to move back into the physical vehicle that she had left. And she still is indeed using the physical vehicle with great joy and gratitude. This instrument, therefore, has absolutely no cultural bias and is fearless when it comes to the physical death. However, for the most part, your peoples remain constrained by fears that they shall cease to exist. There is a lack of true faith in the culture for all of the fine words and the gaudy rituals that it embraces. We may simply say on this point that each of you existed before time began to unroll its scroll in space-time. And you shall exist long after not only your physical body, but the earth itself is dust. We look now at the patterns involved in entities being able to move through their grief process when there is a loss of a loved entity. It is not that there is a true loss, for energies connected with the dynamic between the self and the one who has passed through the gates of death continue to live in the mind, the heart, the emotions of those who are left behind. One of the most difficult things to deal with or to grasp if you are a grieving person is that there is no true loss. There is no ending to the relationship that has matured throughout the time shared by the self and the one who has died. What was true and authentic about that relationship endures. And indeed, it is truly sad that beloved entities become an angel on your shoulder, especially for parents and children. This is often very true. Where there has been devotion on the part of the parents, there will be reliably an energy that is left behind with the beloved child. If that child can remember to ask for the feeling of that beloved being, great comfort can come into the conscious mind. This is a very subjective suggestion, and we do not expect all to be able to deal with this. Nevertheless, it is so, as far as we know. Certainly, this instrument is aware of several entities that nestle inside her heart because of the devotion that they have had for her and the devotion that she has had for them. her mother, her father, and the one known as Don. Especially, rest comfortably and intimately in her very heart of hearts. A part of her strength, a part of her roots, a part of what makes her who she is. There is a dynamic there that strengthens her for work. And we would encourage everyone who has had losses to touch into the relationship that remains, if you possibly can. For there is strength there. Those entities believed in you. They supported and encouraged you. And they are still leaving that nurturing, compassionate understanding with you. Take advantage of that. Do not force away memories of beloved people, but rather appreciate each of your ancestors, not just with memory, but perhaps even with conversation. It is often helpful to have an imagined conversation that is perhaps not so imaginary. When things are on your mind and you have found someone who has passed through that gate of death helpful, talk to them now. You may have to imagine what they say, or it may come to you that this is a real conversation. In a sense, you are able to do this with anyone who has lived at any time and touched your life. When you have once connected with someone, that connection exists eternally. You may trust it and you may rest in it. There is no loss through death except the loss of the company of the physical body of the entity that you were used to being with. This does not make it easy to say goodbye to a beloved person. And certainly, as the one known as Bruce was saying earlier, in the case of someone like the one known as Willie, where a twin has been lost, there is a physical, although difficult to measure, loss, as well as a metaphysical loss. For that entity was you, in the sense of the DNA being united. And it is particularly dislocating to experience such a death when one is an identical twin. Even a fraternal twin, which in this case was the relationship, has a unique link with a twin, and consequently the loss of a twin is especially difficult. It is as if something were torn from you, and there is a wound that bleeds rather than blood. In the physical sense, there is the heart's blood, which is the emotion. These emotions have been wounded, and there is raw and painful discomfort from the shock of a loss. The Creator does not leave any of its beloved children without comfort. This source of comfort starts with a guidance system that is part of your being. Your higher self is waiting to be asked for help. This instrument calls that higher self the Holy Spirit. We suggest that whatever you call your guidance system, when you are dealing with death, you need in a very central way to access your guidance and to remember to keep asking it for news. For you are moving very quickly if you are grieving. You are taking a journey very fast, faster than you normally like to go. It is a journey everyone takes when there is a change of any kind, good or bad, in terms of your value system. That entity who has left has changed everything, because those energies are now taken out of your personal equation. When it is someone very close to you, especially, this leaves a tremendous hole. No one else can replace the companionship or the affection that that entity had for you. For each two people relate in a unique way. Therefore, when you are attempting to help someone who has had a loss, you can certainly distract them by your presence and comfort them with your kindness, your affection, and your good words. And these are substantive gifts to offer an entity who has had a loss. However, you cannot replace that entity who has gone on. Only the processes of time will allow the grieving entity to catch up with the tremendous changes that it has experienced. We see from this instrument's memories that when her mother died, it was very sudden. Death was immediate and painless. And this instrument knew that her mother had hoped to leave the incarnation before the processes of old age brought her illness and loss of faculties. This instrument was the person responsible for creating the service to honor the instrument's mom, and was the executrix of this entity's will. And so as soon as the event occurred, this instrument was locked into several days of creating the memorial service, gathering the family, and moving through the processes of closure that ended with the memorial service's conclusion. It was at that time the instrument's job then to straighten out a terribly complex and troubled financial situation and gradually, gently begin to straighten out its mother's earthly affairs. In the process of all of these things, this instrument did not grieve. It was so aware of the mother's desire to move on into larger life while it was yet. As we correct this instrument, well, that the only emotion the instrument could feel was happiness and being pleased for her mom. It was months later when this instrument was in the hospital undergoing surgery that this instrument finally was able to miss her mother's presence and to grieve and begin that healing process that had so long been in abeyance because events moved too quickly for her emotions to respond. One thing that entities that wish to help a grieving person can do is allow that person the timing and the expression that are appropriate for that person in working through the process of grieving and closure. Some entities can do this within several of your months. Other entities are not capable of coming through the process in less than a matter of years. It depends upon the personalities involved. And each timing, each choice of a way to move through the process is correct for that entity. Consequently, you may comfort someone who is grieving simply by listening and affirming and understanding. Even if you feel that perhaps this person is taking it too hard, or perhaps you wish there was something that you could do to make it easier, we encourage you to allow entities to have a hard time. That may be their best way of going through the process. It is not necessary for this process to be comfortable. It is helpful in the midst of whatever discomfort the grieving person is in, for that person to know and to feel that you are with them, that you hold them in prayer, that your heart thinks of them and sends messengers of love and light in those small times, those tiny seconds of remembrance that come to those who love. Certainly, now that this instrument is aware of the one known as Vuyiswa and her loss, there will be a constant stream of thoughts going her way, for this instrument is one who has a cycle of remembrance that turns itself over perhaps 3 or 4 times in a day. Use that part of yourself that remembers and send those thoughts out without mentioning it to anyone or even taking it so seriously as to mention it to yourself. Whenever that beloved friend is thought of who has had a loss, send a prayer her way. And the same is true if you have a loss and you wish to pray to be with the entity who has died. In prayer, all happens at one time. As you think the prayer, it is being offered to that one who is in the inner planes, moving through the processes of death and transformation. There is no loss of time. There is no lag. When you pray, that thought has reached its goal, and help is immediate. Know whenever you pray about anything that the help is immediate. Trust that. For the response is one which is protected within your own system of mind, body, and spirit. You have comfort with you as close as this instrument's hand upon her bosom. As she touches the skin above her heart, that prayer is already answered. In the time it takes you to form the thought, help is on its way. Knock, and it shall be answered. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall be answered. These are metaphysical facts. Count on them. They will comfort you. You cannot prove them. You can only know them. And the one known as Bruce will know exactly what we mean. Know them. Take them to the bank. They will stand you in good stead. What you see as difficult emotion is that which needs to occur for the entity who is grieving to move through the process of that condign. Process. Therefore, see what you can do to make it all right for that entity to be uncomfortable, disconsolate, sad. Rest in the acceptance of what is. And as you are not disturbed or distraught because of this grieving entity's emotions, that acceptance will register with the one who grieves. Beyond that, it is simply a matter of allowing that person to move through the process in her own way, on her own terms, at her own timing. You ask concerning what the process looks like from time-space. You asked what the process looks like from the vantage point of time-space. We are glad to give you some information on this. We do have to pick and choose a bit, for we do not wish to infringe on free will in any way. From time-space's point of view, an entity outside of incarnation chooses to move into incarnation and then chooses to leave the incarnation. At pretty much the same space. So it is as if there was a bubble of incarnation that was created by the higher self and the self agreeing on that which the incarnation would accomplish in terms of service and in terms of learning. What karma would be balanced and what relationships would be called forth to create the appropriate suffering for the incarnation. From the vantage point of time-space, then, when an entity returns to the larger self or the soul stream, as this instrument has called the larger self, there is that sense of never having been gone that you have when you visit old friends who have been apart for years. Somehow they pick up right where they left off, if the relationship is a good one, to your soul stream. The you that comes back to that soul stream is not at all a prodigal son, but rather a returning hero. Each of you is a great deal of courage. And you have showed that by taking incarnation at all. It is a risk of a high caliber. You may forget to wake up. You may forget to perform your mission. You may pass on the lessons that you wanted to learn. When you return from an incarnation and look at the pattern that you have created, you may find that you've missed some opportunities that you're sorry that you missed on hindsight. Nevertheless, every incarnation is perfect. There are no mistakes. And when you return home from this illusionary experience of life on earth, there is a fullness to your experience that was not there before. You have added to the self in ways that you know not while in incarnation. And you have given a harvest of new information to the One Infinite Creator. It is a joyful time. And it is as though you had never been gone. There is, in the process of death, a final thing that we would say, and that is that there is a crossover right in the gateway to intelligent infinity or a larger life, as this instrument has called it. Where the death has taken place and the will of the entity who has just died is still connected with the belief system of lifetime. Therefore, entities will tend to see whatever they hoped to see or expected to see when they died. For entities who are Christian, that sight may include the one known as Jesus, the one known as Mary, the mother of Jesus, or other saints or entities within that Christian story that have been meaningful and to which prayers have been offered on a continuing basis throughout the life. For those who do not tend to focus on personalities, there may not be any visions or sights at all. There may simply be the switching of environments, as if you were walking out of one room and into another with not a loss of time or consciousness of any kind. The point of death seems like an instant within space-time, within the terrestrial reality. However, from the standpoint of time-space, that moment of death, so-called, might well take a while, might take up some space within time-space, while the various threads and aspects of the self are gathered together in a relaxed, comfortable, easy, unhurried way. Once the self has been collected and all psychic ties have been completed and closure has been found there, that part of the self that wishes to stay with beloved entities left behind does so, and the entity itself rejoins the cell stream. Again, communing with the guidance system, the self determines what healing is needed. Some incarnations leave one a bit tattered, psychically speaking, and there is energy healing that is done. Unlike earth healing, this is a matter of allowing things to come into balance rather than proactively or energetically doing anything. There is an allowing of help to come in, and again, this may take a reasonably substantial amount of space, what you would call time, to accomplish. Once this healing process has been completed, there is a time to contemplate that which the Creator is calling forth most deeply from within that soul stream. How shall you serve now? How shall you point the lessons that will continue to bring you into a more and more clarified and balanced situation within your energy system? And then it is time to think about what shall occur next. Naturally, at this time among your peoples, it is quite likely that those who die will be able to graduate, and therefore their choices of what to do next are dramatically enlarged. We believe that this is a good place to pause and ask if there are follow-up questions or if there are any other questions that you may have at this time. We are those of the Kuo.
How does the process of harvest differ from the process of death, then? Just both graduation and more options? So if one makes the transition from physical form to another physical form via death, or physical form to whatever is resulting from fourth density body, I don't see that, what the difference is there.
We are those of the Kual and are aware of your query, my brother. The process of graduation differs from the process of death and rebirth because, as we said, when one has graduated, one has quite a bit more free range in terms of the options available. If one is dying and is not ready for graduation yet, that is, if one is in the middle of a cycle and graduation does not call forth by the energies of the being at the time of death, then the options involved are to remain in the inner planes or to move into incarnation within third density on planet Earth once again. If one is able to call forth the energies of graduation by one's state of mind, shall we say, or state of heart at the time of death, one goes through the normal moment of death experience and the healing experience, and when all of that has occurred, the higher self and the self may decide together that it is time to walk the steps of light and see if one may graduate. Now, these steps of light are a figure that were devised by the part of this principle known as the Ra group to try to describe a very fastidious operation, guarded carefully by unseen friends, in which an entity is given a construct of the different gradations of light up to the very highest level of third density, and then beginning with the very lowest level of fourth density. The gradations are all shown equally, so that there is not a sense of, oh, I'm approaching fourth density now, I'm going to have to push through. There is simply an invitation to walk in the light until the light feels too strong. Then it is suggested that you take one step back and stop and see if that is the best possible light for you, giving you the best comfort and the best sense of joy. In a way, it is looking for the place that you belong, you would accept that construct. Once you have decided that this is the place that you are most comfortable, you are then offered the information concerning whether or not you have graduated into fourth density. If you have graduated into fourth density, you are then, and this is where we must be somewhat vague about the process, offered the view for the first time of this new density and your place in it. You are still yourself, having dropped away those bits of personality that you carried into incarnation because they would be handy in incarnation. Nevertheless, you are essentially you and unmistakable. And you discover that in fourth density, entities are easy to read. You know everybody. Even before you take fourth density incarnation, you become aware of a dramatically changed environment. You are still between incarnations at this point, but you have now moved into the fourth density, and you have space to become comfortable there before you choose that which you wish to do. From the fourth density position, your options are greater than in third density. In fourth density, you are able to choose what group of entities with which you wish to work. You may choose to be a wanderer and to come immediately back into third density, as the one known as Bruce did at a time when he graduated from the third density of this planet with a few friends, only to find that his concern for his beloved tribe of humankind would not let him rest until he had done his best to call as many people to follow him to larger life, wider vistas, and increased opportunities for service and learning as he could. You have the opportunity to stay in fourth density and do your studying. You have the opportunity to move into the unseen realms, as this instrument calls them, or the inner planes of fourth density, which are much more subtle than filled with much more of an interesting mix of entities from which to learn than is the inner planes environment of third density, because of the different nature of light in that density and the possibilities for information being so much more rich in that density. May we answer you further, my brother?
For being vague, that's pretty good. One other thing. A lot of people with a near-death experience have visions of a crystal city of light. I've actually seen that myself with other near-death experiences. It's becoming more and more frequent. Could you tell me what that is?
And we are those of Akuo and are aware of your query, my brother. Again, we shall have to remain vague. However, we can say a bit about this construct. The construct is precisely that. It is the awareness of fourth density in the minds of many, many, many people. Too many people to have it stay a private vision. It is not fourth density itself. It is not the planet Earth itself. But it is information which is coded in a certain way that is characteristic of crystals. It is being built up day by day in terms of your space-time experience because of people that have begun to graduate and have begun to have a fourth density existence. This existence and this fourth density Earth are unseen by choice, so that there will be no disturbance for the third density entities that are still using the third density of planet Earth. There will not be made obvious or overt the existence of the fourth density entities until the third density patterns have been completed on planet Earth. Nonetheless, this energy, these essences, and this new Earth are very real. Since it is impossible for the human mind to conceive of two Earths interpenetrating each other and not bothering the existence of each other in any way, the construct occurs. It is a mass consciousness construct, much like your UFOs, and it expresses a reality that is beyond the conscious grasp of the human mind, but not beyond the unconscious awareness of the tribe of humankind as a whole. Imagine how powerful fourth density is interpenetrating third density. It is at least as real as the third density that seems to be the sum of reality to those with physical eyes. Therefore, it needs to be expressed. And for those who have contact at all with their deeper mind, there will be some version of this vision that may pop up. And this will increase in terms of the number of people that are able to see it, and even, as the one known as Bruce said, those who are able to go there and to work with the information. May we answer you further, my brother?
That's good. You're running very long. How's the instrument doing?
We are those of Kuo, and we are glad you asked that question, my brother. It is undoubtedly time to relinquish control of this instrument and to say goodbye to this instrument and this group. We thank each of you for the clarity and the sweetness of your natures, for the beauty of your vibration, and for asking us to join your meditation. We thank you for being able to share our poor words with you. Again, we ask you to take them lightly. Use them if you can, and leave them behind if they bother you at all. Thank you for this session of speaking. It has been a pleasure. We are known to you as the principle of Kuo. We leave you in the love, the light, the power, and the peace of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friends. We are.